Very appreciative, you people that did not leave and stayed around for a while. If you look around, we see a lot of people are gone for a fall break. So it's good to see a few people still here with us that can meet here. We're going to be starting the Revelation in the 21st chapter. Doug had finished out the 20th chapter. Which is a little difficult, but it's a good chapter. And as we get here now, we're at the end of Revelations, the book of Revelations. And to me, this part is probably one of my favorite parts about Revelations, where you see, in the 20th chapter, because we're people that like to see injustice or people that do harm or those that are corrupt finally get judgment against them. They finally get caught, and then judgment is met with them, and they have to get their punishment. Well, in the 20th chapter, you see where Satan and his allies get their punishment. Now, when you get in the 21st chapter, those that have survived or overcome, those that are righteous, those that are children of God, shall also, he tells them, this is the reward that you're going to get for being righteous, for overcoming. And he describes heaven to us. And you can imagine how hard it is to describe heaven into human language. It's very difficult. But I think he does a good, you can see it when he started describing the 21st chapter here, about heaven and the new city coming down and all the stuff about it, about the city itself. You see how great, and you understand this is what God has prepared for you. And then she also, that you get to be with God forever and ever. As the punishment is with those of the Satan and the devil and his allies and those that do not believe in God or are unfaithful, their punishment is forever and ever, where our reward is forever and ever. All right, let's begin the 21st chapter here. It says, Christians throughout the ages have been comforted by reading this portrayal of a future abode. If saints of latter generations are thrilled at these promises, how much more than those disciples rejoice who were suffering severe persecution and in need of hope at the time John wrote this. The background of Revelation was to give early Christians comfort by answering questions that surely must have been upon their hearts. Why is this tribulation taking place? How long will it continue? And what will be the outcome? At this point in the message, the patience of the saints have been fortified through the assurance of victory over the beast, found in 13. And their hearts have been strengthened by the promise, "Blessed are the dead which died in the Lord." Chapter 14. Now, as Revelation draws to a close, a description is given of the eternal destiny of the righteous, a view of life after death. Three symbols in these last two chapters reveal the heavenly condition of the redeemed: fellowship with God, protection by God, and provisions by God. And this is, as you look at, particularly for those people in the time of John, reading this, when they get to the end part, and they see here this last part of this letter, you can understand what a rejoicing it is, what a thrill it for them to understand this, to see this. Because these people have gone through persecution. Now, this doesn't say that we're not going to enjoy it. We are going to enjoy it, this last part too. Because I don't know of anybody here that has not had some tribulation, some trials, some hardships. This is to let you know that your suffering, your tribulation, is going to be worth it. If you overcome it, you shall receive these things which God is going to describe to us. John wrote them down, but these are from God. I'm telling you what a great blessing it is at the end. When life is over with and you receive your reward. Now, if this doesn't help you keep marching on a straight and narrow path, then I don't know what else can. God is relating to you how it's going to be. He's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. All your troubles and problems are over with. And you imagine you're going to be with God forever and ever. All right.
You know, Dale, that's very true. Keep in mind that the message for the Christians, I think, primarily coming out of the Asia Minor, and they need this reassurance, for they're probably going through what most of us have never gone through. We got to abstain from looking at it as some future endeavor that we can. I've talked to people, and they can relate Revelation to anything you want to in the future and try to take Revelation through. But that's not what it's for. It's to give comfort to those who are His and that He's going to take care of.
Yes. And basically, he is telling me, yes, you're going to go through some trials and persecution, particularly in these people right here, particularly in the time of the Roman Empire. And he tells them that, yeah, you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. But the same token, if you can go through this and be faithful in service to them, that your reward, you have to consider that. How long is your suffering? How long is your pain? If you have to give your life up for the Lord to receive this, that is nothing. He's what the whole point is, look, you have to weigh the thing. A few years of pain and suffering as compared for bliss, paradise forever and ever and ever. And there is no comparison. There's nothing. That's what he's pitching. He's telling them that the picture here and this vision he gives to you, and John writes it down, and you're trying to visualize, he's saying, and you're trying to visualize what heaven's going to be like. It is impossible. I do not know what a spiritual body is going to be like. I don't know. But reading this and understanding that I will be in the presence of God forever and ever, that I won't have any pain and suffering, that He's going to take care of me forever and ever. And He tells you, Christ, when He left, I'm going to go build you a mansion. And you describe, as He described this city here, New Jerusalem, how huge and magnificent it is, how beautiful it is. You can understand why He says, I'm going to build you a mansion. It's going to be great. And that's what His point is. This is at the summation at the end. This is for give them the hope. When they get there and says, you're reading this, I say, yes, I understand. I don't know what the pain is. I've already lost an eye. I already lost my arm. I already lost my foot. I've lost my loved ones. I'm in economic straits. I'm just barely making it by. But you get to the end here and He tells you what you're going to receive for being faithful for this and staying the course, staying on that narrow way. You're going to see what it's worth it. Neil? difficult to, when you're going through persecution, it's difficult when you're going through persecution to keep that in mind. Persecution is not fun. Larry? Charles?
I don't know if you ever noticed this. Larry, a lot of times he closes his prayer by asking God to give us a peaceful hour to pass from this life to the next. I remember the last time I was in the hospital, I was in such pain and agony that I asked to have my oldest daughter, which worked at that hospital that I was in, to come in. They said, "Oh, she can't." I said, "Yes, she can. She works here. I want her in here." And she came in, and I said, "You know, I said, I hate to leave you and all my other kids and my wife, but I'm in so much pain, I want to die. You can get that away." I said, "I just want to go ahead and die." Because the life after was so much greater than what I was in right now. You know, but I just want to go home.
And you can see why God's summation of Revelation just way. And if you're in pain, if you're having hard times, you struggle, let me tell you, this is a very good passage to come and read. It will uplift you. Now, chapter 21. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven say, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have all passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the foundation of the waters of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." He says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Okay? Here's 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, verses 10 to 13. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." This earth is going to be gone. The heavens you see up here is going to be gone. When the day of judgment comes, you will know about it. And it talks about here, it says, it will come as a thief in night. That means you don't expect it. You don't know when it's coming. You don't know when a thief's coming. But he's telling you what's going to happen. You will not reign on this earth for 1,000 years. You will not stay on this earth. Because this earth is going to be burned up. Pure and simple. This is what God created it. He began it. And he's going to terminate it. He's going to end it. And it's going to be burned up. And he says, talking about, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, a place for us to live. It's not going to be here. See, that's grand for us. We know the pain and the suffering that's here on this earth. That's the reason this is good. We don't want this earth. We don't want to inherit this earth. We want the new heaven and the new earth. And that's what he's promised us. And that's what he's talking about. He says, John says, now, I saw it in my vision, the new heaven and the new earth. For the earth, first earth and heavens passed away. Then he talks about there will be no more sea. Well, we've already talked about that sea. That's the unrighteous. That's the society of human. That's the things that have gone against God. It's not the literal sea, because this little sea is on this earth. And if the earth is gone and away, of course it's going to go with it. But he's talking about those two. They're going to be gone. Those that are, he talked about that in the 20th chapter. Those unrighteous ones that did not believe or have faith in, those that turned to worshiping the emperor and did all the things, they're no more. Their punishment has come. And they're in the down with the lake of fire and brimstone. Then John says that he saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. It's a new kind he's talking about, basically here. And where's it come from? It's coming down out of heaven. It's originated from God. And you understand, the old stuff, the old earth, the physical stuff is gone. Now we got the new heaven, the new earth coming. And now he's talking about here is the new Jerusalem. The sanctuary, or the place where God dwells. Our new spiritual abode. And it says, it is like it's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. How the old earth was here, the new one is contrast. The old was the old physical things. Now the new is the spiritual. It's going to be adorned how? Radiant. Beautiful. You think, this is where God is. You know it's going to be beautiful. Charles?
Going with what we talked about last time, the church, this is the redeemed church, the church in its eternal glory with God. We won't ever have to worry about any nations like Rome or anybody coming up against the church anymore, ever again. That's
I said, as you're putting yourself in their predicament, and they're reading this, and when they talk about it, they understand, they know the scripture, they know the Old Testament thing. And they said, when they say they're talking about this, they knew that the city of Jerusalem was God. That was his place, his sanctuary. That was where his temple was. But now he's talking about here's the new Jerusalem coming. It's coming down from heaven. It's not upon this earth. It's coming from heaven. And it's God ordained. It's spiritual. Then he talks about in the third verse, he says, and I heard a low revival voice from heaven say, behold, here's the beautiful verse, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and their people. Look at this. Uninterrupted fellowship and total union with God. Will characterize heaven and the age to come. His tabernacle or his dwelling place, will be with men in more personal way than it ever has before. When the Word was made flesh, Jesus dwelled among us. Only temporary. But this verse suggests that God will remain with his people throughout eternity. God, Jesus came down. He was here. God was up on this earth. Short time. Period of time. But now, look at it. This is God's tabernacle, his place, his dwelling. You will have fellowship with God for eternity. Think about that. God will be with men, and he will dwell with them. He's going to be there amongst them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And he's going to describe a little bit more on to this, what all this means. But he's beginning to say, look, there's not a temple on earth where you go, where God dwells upon his. No, you will see God and be with him forever. He's going to dwell with you, and you're going to dwell with him. You're going to be his actual people because you're going to be with him. All right, what does that mean? Well, verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Look at that. No more. It's gone. Can you imagine that? Life without tears. No death. No mourning. No crying. No pain. That's hard to comprehend, isn't it? That's the reason it's hard, difficult for me, and probably hoping for you to understand this spiritual being that we're going to be, and the place where we're going to be. I really, you know, it's very difficult for me to think of a day that you don't have pain. If you're young, you know what it's going to be like when you get old. There is no golden age. It's not golden. It's hard. And so, no mourning, no death, no. It's just hard to believe. But that's what it's going to be. And he says, you will be with me, and you will not have what? No sorrows. Can you imagine a life, a blessing left that way all the time?
You know, you can believe this too, because God is the one that's saying, when he says God's with us, he said, no more sorrow, no more tears. God is the one saying that.
Yes.
Remember back in Matthew.
Yes, and that's what he's talking about here. He said, for these words are true and faithful. God cannot lie, so his revelations must be trusted. If God says it's so, then it must be so. He thinks about there, he says, behold, all things are made new. In their trials, it is greatly encouraged to look forward to the new things being made by God. In contrast to the things which are removed and all things are now made new. See, this earth is gone. What we have is a new place. It's going to be entirely something different from us. And that's why he's trying to tell these people here, yes, I understand the earth and your toils and everything, but all that's going to be gone. This earth is gone. You're going to have a new place. You know this pain and suffering you've been going through? Look, it's not going to be there anymore. Understand? And he's emphasizing this for them. And that's the reason, as they read this, and as you and I, it's particularly good for us too. We have hard times also. And he tells you that these things are going to come about. You can count on these things, because God cannot lie. So what he's telling these people right here, he's telling John, you write these down for these people. So they can read these things and understand it, and they will know that these things are true and faithful. Because why? Because I, God, are telling you what to write down. And so you can count on this. Then he says, and he says to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega. You think about it. The scheme of redemption is revelation, origin, and terminate with God. Just at the beginning and the end of the universe, dependent on God's word. This world began with God, and it's going to terminate and end with God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and end. He's the originator of this world. This earth we live on, he created it. It's here because of God. And it's being sustained by God. He's in control. If it wasn't for God, this world wouldn't be here. And when it's time, when it's his time, he's going to terminate this world. He's going to end it. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end of this world. And he will terminate it. And he tells us how it's going to do. He's going to burn it up. This is not our place. This is not our reward. This earth is not our reward. We don't want it. He's telling us. I have a much better place. This new place, you contrast it with the old. When you think about this old world we're living in, all our pain and suffering, now he's contrasted to you have a new world coming. You're going to have a new spiritual body. And there's no pain, no suffering, none. And I will provide for, I will take care of you, and you will be in fellowship with me in heaven forever and ever. See the contrast? Can you see the picture of what he's putting for them? You look, you're going through this, but you look at the end, what you're going to. What's the end of the road? I'm on this travel, I'm on this journey, on this earth. What's my end? And God's telling you, here's the end. It's a new heaven, and it's a new earth, and it's a glorious place. And he says, and I will give of the fountain of the waters of life freely to him who thirsts. What is it? The fountain of the water of life, freely, forever and ever. See, here's another point. You're not going to thirst. What's we need? We have to have water. He said, I'm going to take care of you. Understand? This is my promise to you. I told you, John, you write down, this is my promise. I'm going to provide for you. Then he says in verse 7, he who overcomes, the sons and daughters of God who have trusted in the power and promise of their heavenly Father will receive the inheritance they were promised. You ever thought about that word? He said, he who overcomes. You ever thought about that word, overcome? What are we overcoming?
Sin.
Conquering
the other
world. Mm-hmm. Have you ever overcome something other? Do you know how the feeling is when you overcome? You say you're a drug addict, you're an alcoholic, and you have overcome that. You haven't taken a drink in years. You haven't taken drugs in years. You have overcome these physical things. And you can apply that for anything. I'm just using those two as examples. Anything. How great it is when you overcome. And that's what he's talking about. You're going through this suffering and pain and tribulations, whether it's economic or physical. But if you overcome those things, if you bear those, live through those, how much better you feel when you do it. And this is what he's talking about here. You shall overcome these things, and for your overcoming these things, you bearing these things and put them aside, put them behind. It's just like when you're baptized. You put off the old man, you put on a new man. How great you feel. You're walking a new road. You got this new path you're on. You're not on the old road of destruction. You're on the new road to heaven. You have overcome sin. Does this mean you're going to fall down time? But you can overcome it. And that's what he's talking about. Here's the thing. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You shall have these inheritance. You will have all these things. You can't just think now. What can God not supply you? What can God not do for you? There's nothing he. God is God. You have to understand this. And he's telling you, I will take care of you. But you have to overcome. You have to overcome. And you shall reward these things. And you shall have everything. And you will be my son. Then he comes in verse 8. Here's a contrast. I like this. In contrast to the righteous, who shall be given freely of the fountain of the water of life, the unrighteous shall suffer the fate of enemies of God and the church. Cowardly. Those who shrink back from fear of tribulation. Those that said, okay, now giving something to this little pinch of this thing to the emperor thing, it doesn't mean anything. I can still go on and do it. And, you know, no, that's a coward. That's somebody that does not want to stand up to the pain and suffering. Unbelieving. Those who refuse God or say that God doesn't exist. Abominable. Those who defile themselves in morality, including all natural vices of paganism and all adultery. Murderers. Those that takes life. Those that probably slain somebody. You think about it too. If you murder a child, abortion, murder. Sexual immoral. Those that satisfy their gratify sexual lust. Sorcerers. Those who practice witchcraft or magic. Or anything that tried to deceive. The adulterers. Worshipers of false gods. And false gods can be anything now. And all liars, deceivers, whether it's in the word or deed, if you deceive somebody, what will happen to them? Oops. They will have their part. Now, this is their part in the lake. They're in this lake. Of the fire and brimstone that's going to have a place for them. You know, this is where God had placed it. Said, this is where Satan is going to go. And all those will be with him. He said, and these people are going to be with him. So here's the contrast he's putting out there. Do you want this life? Do you want the reward that I have just told you about? To live like it? Or do you want the contrast and be with Satan forever and ever? Who do you want to be with? The choice is yours and mine. And it's these people here. It's your choice. It's your opinion. Which way you want to go? And you're looking at that. I'll take the other one. I'll tell you what. I'll take the new heaven and the new earth over this. I don't want to be with these people throughout eternity. I'd rather be with y'all. I'd rather be in heaven. But that stuff is righteous and good. Particularly what he's striving. And let me tell you, he's going to describe it even more detail. Anything else before we go on? Larry.
Charles once said something to the effect there in that it would be nice to be in a situation where you're not tempted to sin. We each face temptation.
expects us to accomplish a certain degree of that in this life. It's called spiritual maturity. And as we progress, like we're here in this Bible study, he expects us to come out with spiritual maturity where this doesn't have as much of an effect on me as maybe it would have 40 or 50 years ago, you know. And so he expects us to get that way. And Larry said eventually we're going to a place where we won't have no problem with it at all. But
you don't pay as much attention to it as you are in your younger days because you don't think about death. But let me tell you, as a thief in a knife comes, you do not know. You do not know when your death's going to come. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed anything. And he's telling these people right here that the situation is now. You need to overcome these things now. As we begin to talk about, and we'll talk about it a little later on, you can't wait till the last minute to overcome. Because you don't know when it's going to come. And so he's telling these people right here to be an encouragement. And tell them, yes, you've gone through a lot. But let me just tell you, if you look in as we study about in Revelation, they're going to go through a lot more. It's going to get more severe. They're in the early parts. They're in persecution. But it's going to get a whole lot worse. And you get to the end, there's going to be very, very few people not going to be affected somewhere along the line. And so he's telling you now, overcome, stay the course, be faithful, and receive reward. And we'll talk more about this Wednesday night. Thank you.